You can't follow that. You just can't. Even with Paula telling me, go get him, Tiger. Amen. Amen. That's by one of my favorite choirs, the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. And I'd say that's a good, they got some competition now, wouldn't you say so? Amen. Back in 1988, there was a company that was already going strong. They got catapulted into another level. As it went from a very strong financial position of $877 million to $9.2 billion. From $877 million to $9.2 billion. And three words took them there. Just do it. And because Lonnie's a friend of The Simpsons, just diddly do it. Now, three words could do that for a company. Just think what those three words could do in every Christian's life who has the creator and the sustainer of the universe within them. Just do it. As we progress today, over 10 chapters to chapter 18 of Joshua, we find Israel having moved across the promised land and God again and again giving them victory in their battles and in their lives and providing for them. And in 18 verse 1 it says, "Then the whole congregation of the Israelites assembled at Shiloh and set up the tent of meeting there. The land lay subdued before them." It says that they gathered, they came together as God's people, and they set up the tent of meeting, their sanctuary of God's presence, where they would meet with God and they would worship and seek God's will and his direction. But you notice the words, "The land lay subdued before them." The fighting's over. It's already subdued before them. My son Dan was in high school. He was in the church youth group, and they went to a snow festival, a winter festival at a church camp. And from one of the other camps, there was this bully type of guy. And the guy's favorite thing to do was to walk out of the dining hall and take kids smaller than himself and pick them up and throw them into snowdrifts. He did this to boys and girls both. And one of his last victims to be had was my son, who had been avoiding him. And he saw the guy coming toward him. He looked behind him at the snowdrift. He threw himself backwards into the snowdrift. Boom! And said, "There, happy?" And the guy just walked away. The land lay subdued before them. No more conflict. The fighting's over. The promised land is theirs. In fact, the promised land had been theirs for several years. And as God had directed, they were to divide the land among their families and settle their land and enjoy their lives with a new land of milk and honey. And of the 9.5 tribes, 2.5 of those had moved into their lands and were busy settling it, but 7 of the tribes had not yet moved into their areas. God had told them to move in and to claim their parts of the promised land. Yet they were still sitting on dusty hillsides, looking down at their lands, but not moving forward. Seems odd. After crying out to God when they were under Pharaoh's intense and harsh slavery and God delivered them, after seeing God part the Red Sea for them, after experiencing God's power and faithfulness through 2 40-year experiences and wanderings in the desert, after seeing God then divide the raging Jordan River that separated them from their promised land and then led them to victory after victory after victory, And they're finally in that land. They're finally at the place where they can take their land, the one that lay subdued before them. And they finally reached where they could take their parts of the promised land, but they didn't. So it says in verses 2 and 3, there remained among the Israelites seven tribes whose inheritance had not yet been appointed. So Joshua said to the Israelites, how long will you slack about going in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has given you? Well, there's a word you don't usually hear in a biblical book, slacker. A slacker is a person who shirks obligation or their work that they have about them. People who are apathetic and lacking ambition. What could have been their reason for slacking from moving forward? It's a thing called just do it tomorrow. Kind of where they were. Apathetic, lacking ambition. What could have been their reason for slacking? The reason that they would not go in. Well, some have made some suggestions. One is weariness. Maybe they were just tired, tuckered out. But then again, they had been camping outside of their parts of the promised land for a few years. I think they could have gotten their energy back. Second reason, some say, well, difficulty. Maybe they were tired of doing all that heavy lifting of the past few years. Hold it. Wasn't it God that knocked those walls down? I think God did the heavy lifting, didn't he? And maybe they were satisfied with less. After all they'd gone through and with all the comforts and blessings of the new promised land that they were already enjoying, they were satisfied. God had so much more for them, but they were satisfied and were just too lazy to go for more. No, God, it's okay. I'm good. And God has recorded in his eternal word for people who is blessed and sent to greater things for their blessing and his glory, yet refuse to move forward, he calls them slackers. The land was theirs. God wanted them just to do it, to turn from slackers to doers. So much more laid before them, so much more blessing for them and for God, yet they don't move one inch forward. Sadly, so many times we are just like them. People who have great potential, great opportunities, great callings and situations before us as God wants to lead us forward in our lives, yet we sit down with all that could be and say, I think I'll put it on hold. I'm good. And the years go by and the hair turns white and the joints grow stiff and they just fight it, but they never did it. I've always been amazed by those who did do it. Who in the world do you think took sand and decided, I'll make a window? Where did that come from? That they could think of taking sand and heat it and put in other chemicals and all the things we do, including stained glass, with just glass. Who did that? I'm glad they did it, aren't you? Or who invented the light bulb? You notice I even got contemporary and put us a spiral bulb. You know, who came up with that idea? I think not only I think I'll try to develop electricity, but a light bulb. I think I need a light bulb. Where did that come from? And I'll use these different elements and gases. And if you remember the story, if you've ever read it, there are hundreds and hundreds of things that were tried until they finally came up with it. And then they came up with this thing from horses and donkeys to a horseless carriage with a thing called a combustion engine on the left. Who would come up with a thing of saying, well, if you take a fuel from the ground and you will put it into a chamber and add air and gas and a spark from a spark plug at just the right time, it'll drive these pistons down, that'll turn a crankshaft, that'll turn your transmission. Oh, come on now. Where'd that come from? But aren't you glad they did it? Now, on the right, yes, that's a Tesla. That's the engine of a Tesla. Who comes up with this stuff? But aren't you glad they're doing it? You know, we're all aware of areas in our lives where we need to change, where we want to change, where God's calling us to change, where we feel convicted by God's Spirit to go into another land, where God wants us to change, and we have been saying, nope, I'm good. Most regrets in life are things that we could have, we should have, but we didn't do. But the clock is ticking, and too often we're cruising. If we don't hurry up, it's not going to get done. It's a gift of God to have the breath and the moment for an opportunity. And it's a sad time when we've lost that opportunity. Each moment of your life that goes by is one less moment you will have. If you don't hurry up and do it, it will not get done. And you will miss so much of the promised land that God has for your life. When you woke up this morning, you received a gift of another opportunity. What could be a better gift than opportunity? What a tragic waste it is to waste these opportunities and not use it, and to assume that we have tomorrow to do it, which we don't take advantage of either. That's foolish. It's even arrogant to be for sure. All we have for sure is right now. How long will we slack about going in, taking possession of the land the Lord God has for us? How long will we slack before we finally begin in the morning or sometime during the day to have that finally a meaningful quiet time with God? How long before we really say, Lord, worshiping you is more important. I'm going to be there as many Sundays as I can. How long before you say, I really need to grow in Christ? And you start, how long before you join a Sunday school or a small group? How long before you start serving? Lord, I'd like to do that. Well, then start doing that. How long before you start giving? Lord, I've been waiting to give. Well, now's the time to give. To give so God can move and do great things in his church in this area. How long before you start inviting people? I'd love to see this church full. If everybody invited one person, we'd be full. How long? How long before you realize that God is doing a new and exciting work at Pathways and just saying, all right, I'm in, all the way in, into that new promised land? How long before you start to listen to the Holy Spirit in your life? How long will we slack and not get moving on? Maybe in our health, maybe in our actions, maybe in our relationships, in our marriages, in our jobs. How long? How long, he said to them. Are you going to sit here in this dust and not get into the promised land? How long before you finally believe and you finally invite Jesus into your heart and your life? Because when your last breath is taken, your last brainwave is gone, your choice is sealed for eternity. How long before you finally believe God and his word that when you ask for forgiveness, you were forgiven? Go on now. How long? The day will come when we will all pass on, and if we have Jesus, we'll pass on into heaven with Jesus. And what we have done, slacking or going, defines the quality of life that we lived, the legacy we leave behind, the quality of the relationships and the family relationships that we leave behind, and the purpose and effect that our life had on others and on the kingdom of God. Were we slackers? Are doers. Turn to somebody and say, just do it. Come on. Just say, just do it. Get it right now. Get it said right now. Get it done right now. Open your heart right now. Life doesn't give you a do-over. The time is now. In much of life, if you've missed it, you've missed it. You'll never be at this place in your life again. The moments that pass the day are gone forever. Just do it. We have no idea what could have been. Just imagine how life will be different if you will do it. That which you should do, which the Holy Spirit is convicting you to do, which you know you should do. Just imagine the ministries that should and could be here at Pathways if you will do it as we should. Just imagine how this church could be so different if all of us will do it, do what we could and should. God is saying to us, I have loved you, I have provided for you, I have blessed you, I have gifted you, and I have other things for you. It's time for you to quit slacking and get moving. Get up and get going into the promised land that I prepared for you. Why do you vegetate at the entrance? Do you know how many times God has brought you to this point of entering your promised land? Sadly, I think we do. He brings us there and then we stop. Time and time again, year in and year out, he's been leading and pushing, pushing and pushing, and we've been pushed enough, so just do it finally. God must be so weary of bringing people to the edge of their promised land, and then they go, no, I'm good. I'm not going in. And guess whose fault it is when our promised land has been laid before us and we say, no, I'm just going to hang out. Guess whose fault it is when we know what we should do and we miss it and we don't do anything. And don't try to be critical of people who do it. Got up and took their promised land, and now they are blessed and a blessing, and we are still slacking off. Again, guess whose fault it is when your promised land has been laid before you and you're missing it because you're just hanging out. You know, I get amused when at people who don't worship regularly, yet they wonder why people who do it have such spiritual strength and peace in their lives. I get amused at people who don't attend Sunday school or small groups, yet wonder and marvel why people who do it seem to have such a depth of understanding in scriptures and a strength in their life. I get amused at people who don't serve, yet accuse those who do of being in a clique. I get amused at people who don't tithe, yet they're critical of people that do it, and they get so upset when they have blessings that they don't. It's also so amusing that the people who don't do it have time to talk about the people who do it, but the people who do it don't have time to talk about anyone else because they're too busy doing what they're supposed to do in their promised land, and they're focused on what's next. Amen. What happened when Israel was challenged to quit slacking and begin going and doing? Joshua 21, 43 to 45. So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their forefathers, and they took possession, finally, of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their forefathers. Now one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord handed all their enemies over to them. Not one of the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. Are you going to be a doer? Or stay as a slacker? Let the Memorial Day weekend of 2016 be a memorial to your finally getting up, getting going in your life with your relationships, your spiritual life, and your church. Just say to yourself, I'm going to do it in 2016. I'm going to do it now. And how do you begin to do your doing? One step at a time. Take it. Take the first step. Then the second one's easier. And the third one. And the fourth one. Just start taking the step. Say to someone next to you, take the first step. Say it, please. Take the first step. Take the first step. From slackers to doers, just do it. Let's pray. Father God, as we have been together today, we thank you, Lord, for your love, your kindness, your provision, and your care. We ask you, Lord, to be with us as we celebrate this day, the body of Christ, as we, Lord, open our hearts and minds to Lord, what things are values for you and for your church. We ask you, Lord, to help us in our own lives, our personal lives and our church life, Lord, even our professional lives, to think of and be listen to your Spirit tell us what we need to do. And, Lord, we know you have promised lands beyond us in our personal lives, our professional lives, and our church life. Help us, Lord, to be strong, to be faithful, to quit slacking, and to start doing it. We pray this in the power and the love of Jesus' name. As all God's people say, how about just do it? As all God's people say, just do it.